From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. This is a special show. We are lucky enough to have the Colts team reporter Jake Arthur with us. We're going to ask him a lot of pointed questions about what's going on with this team, how Andrew Luck is holding together, what the Frank Reich phenomenon has been, and how this team is situated to come into Arrowhead and try to play well. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be a great show. Chris will join me talking to Jake here in a few minutes, but we have a couple of things to let you know about. Check out our partner Seth's work over at The Athletic. Chris's stuff up at Chiefs Digest as well as Locked On Chiefs, and all my work is on RGR YouTube channel, RGR Football, that is. So before we get started, there's a couple of injury things. The Chiefs had everybody out there. Several were limited, including Eric Berry and Spencer Ware and Sammy Watkins to start the week. The only player that didn't practice was Jordan O'Daniel, and he's kind of a new crop up on this particular injury report, and that's due to a calf ankle. We're going to watch very closely Wednesday's practice to see if he's back out there. I suspect that he will be. It seems like a temporary thing at this point from what I'm hearing. We'll see if he can actually go and practice and make his way towards getting ready for this playoff game. Going to be very important because the Colts are not only a formidable foe, but they are beat up as well. They have 9 players that did not practice on Tuesday, and that's a significant number. We'll see how that changes as well, but that's generally a sign that you're going to have some game time decisions, some guys that are going to not be at their optimal. And that's another thing that bodes well for the Chiefs. We're going to talk about a lot of things today, so we're not going to waste too much time. We'll get to it. Well, folks, this is the moment you've been waiting for. We have the insider from Colts.com, old friend of ours, actually, and we'll tell you all about that later. But Jake Arthur joins us to talk this Colts game through. Jake, how are you tonight?
Hey, fellas, I'm doing awesome. Great to be here with you.
Man, it's been a while, and it's been kind of a road for all of us, and glad to see you land with somebody that you have followed. I mean, folks, you have no idea how long he's followed this team. Now that he's inside the building, a unique perspective. And I did just like to start with, you know, overall, when you take a look at where this Colts team is, first year into this coaching staff, how do you generally feel about it?
Oh, I think you've got to look at the season overall already as a success. I mean, it's far from over. I mean, once you make the playoffs, it's anyone's ball game. But just think about nationally what the perception of this team was. Let's say right after the McDaniel stuff, you know, just people kind of viewed it as a mess. Once preseason rankings and predictions came out, the Colts were almost always near the bottom. And right now they're the team that nobody wants to face in the playoffs. And I mean, there's really not many dominant teams in the AFC. So why can't it be them that's representing the AFC in the Super Bowl?
Well, I definitely have a couple of reasons why it can't be them, but I completely understand where you're coming from on that.
Yeah.
Nice talking to you, buddy. It's been a while. Really looking forward to this podcast. The one thing that struck me, and I know we'll get into matchups and whatnot here in a couple minutes, but the one thing that struck me today, we are recording this Tuesday night, and it looks like the Colts had almost half their roster on did not practice.
Yeah, that's pretty normal to see a laundry list of guys on the injury report to begin the week. They just kind of have this thing where they know how to maintain certain guys. There's guys who are on the injury report almost every week, and then they're completely removed from it by week's end. It's just how they go. They're good at maintaining their guys and keeping their bodies as fresh as they can. There are some guys dealing with some things right now. T.Y. Hilton, for example, has barely practiced over the last month, but he's been a warrior out there fighting and putting up really good numbers, like top of the league numbers. So it's, you know, by the time we get to Thursday and they release the official report, it'll look a lot more whittled down.
And like you said, that's something that's kind of the modus operandi of this team, right?
Yeah. That's when people who aren't used to seeing their injury report initially see it, they think, wow. But really, that's how it's been all year. They'll have a handful of guys questionable, I'm sure. We might have one or two out. Coach Reich usually says it at his final presser of the week, who's declared out already. But it never winds up being as bad as it initially looks.
Well, that's good for your team because, as you said, that's a laundry list of guys. I have to ask you this.
Yeah.
you know, you look at where this Colts team was to start the year, and nobody really had them being a good team this year. But you've seen what Andrew Luck has been able to do. What have you seen from Luck since he's come back from his injury? And I know it's been a while, but what have you seen that's really changed? Does he look like he's back to his normal self?
Oh, yeah. Physically, you can't really tell any difference from before. His arm strength is there. You know, everything is there. And he's always been a really cerebral player. You know, most people would normally say he's probably one of the top five quarterbacks in the mental game of it. And it just so happens that he's been now married with what seems to be the perfect coach for him and Frank Reich, former quarterback for 10 plus years, I believe, you know, really sharp offensive mind. They just go together perfectly. And so physically coming back from his shoulder injury, Luck is, you know, completely returned from that. There luckily aren't even any questions anymore, really. And then the mental and preparation aspect of it, he's just been paired with the perfect partner in crime.
Well, I'm glad that you put it that way too, because when I think back about both their careers and the comeback portion of what they've both been able to do on the field, how did the two of them work as a unit? What's their working relationship like?
I think they're attached to each other's hips, honestly. You got to factor offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni in there and Marcus Brady, who was a pretty successful CFL quarterback, and he's one of their assistant quarterbacks coaches. I think it was Reich or Sirianni earlier in the year. They just said they all love their quarterbacks room because literally all the coaches used to play quarterback. And then Jacoby Brissett has a ton of experience. He's in there. There's just so much knowledge flying around in that quarterback room, and they all just totally understand what the other one is going through. And Andrew being the one that's actually out on the field playing, there's so much help he gets also in that quarterback room from everybody else. I mean, he's, you know, he's sharp as a whip. He doesn't, you know, need that much help, of course, but it's really good to have that many like-minded brains working on the same task. It's not just Reich and Luck that are close. It's that entire quarterback and coaching group.
So how much have you enjoyed watching this Colts team kind of go from not looked at as being a very good squad to a squad that's, you know, now fighting for an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl?
Well, I always kind of lean optimistic. So although, you know, you didn't expect that the Colts would make like a deep playoff run or go to the Super Bowl, I did expect them to be decent. You know, having an elite quarterback gets you almost double digit wins right away. And you got to keep in mind, I've seen Luck since training camp, so I've seen that he's physically back for months now. But it's great. And since I lean optimistic and there was so much negativity, it was frustrating at times, you know, hearing some things nationally or people wondering things, speculating, or even like downright saying things that were inaccurate. It's a relief now to see everybody in the nation, every football fan knows that Andrew is back and that the Colts are in fact good again. Cause the last few years were pretty rough, honestly. They weren't terrible, but it was just mediocre. And it's hard to put in words how that feels, like not being terrible and not being really good either. You're just kind of meh right there in the middle. But there are obvious reasons for it. You know, the team was going through things, but right. It's definitely a relief now that that the arrow is back up.
Well, and just real quick, before I let you let Ryan ask another question, the one thing I will say is, you know, Chiefs fans feel your pain and being bad at times and it being a real struggle. The one thing I will say is that I do think it really helped set you up for this run that you guys are going to be going on over the next couple of years because, you know, drafting as high as you were, you got some really good players.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the 4-12 season, the Colts led in the second half of most of their games, to be honest with you, and just couldn't close them out. And then so they wound up being 4-12. And that was a blessing because it let them be in the position to make a trade with the Jets and move back and still be able to get Quentin Nelson. And they got Braden Smith and Darius Leonard all right there within their first three picks. That's two starters on your offensive line and your starting linebacker. Nelson and Leonard make first team all pro, which that says you are an elite player. And then just today, Coach Reich said that he thinks Braden Smith is the best kept secret in the entire league. And he didn't have to say that. He could have just said that he's done a really good job for them, you know? But you're absolutely right. Going through those 2-8-8 seasons and the 4-12, they would not have been able to acquire the kind of talent that they have without going through all that.
It's been quite a road, and I actually want to ask you about that later in the show. But folks, right now we're going to take our first break. Make sure you check out all of Jake's work on Colts.com on the official site. You can find it all there. We'll be right back.
The NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get into the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games this year. Not this year when the 53rd Super Bowl is right around the corner. It is really the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props in the business. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. We trust them, but you don't have to take our word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid.
And I think when we start talking about this game in terms of its matchup, I like what you hit on, that the youth is really paying off, especially this season. And when we look at the Chiefs being such a poor defense in defending someone, like you said, with a cerebral point of view of the game like Luck, what do the Chiefs need to do to try and limit this offense and what Luck's able to do?
Well, some of the things I've looked at, I've studied this matchup a lot, especially today. Defensively, I think you guys would agree, the one thing Kansas City does really well is get after the quarterback. You know, tied for first in the league in sacks. But of course, Andrew was the least sacked quarterback in the league. So I think if the Chiefs defense has a hope to not make this be a shootout, Colts offense versus Chiefs offense, then they're going to have to try and get to Andrew. And, it's honestly hard to think how they're going to do it other than bringing extra pass rushers, pretty consistently. Because again, that's the one thing they do really well, but that's one thing the Colts excel at as well. So if they're not able to do that, how are they going to be able to stop the Colts offense? So I think it's really just going to boil down to putting consistent pressure on them.
Well, and that's going to be a big key. I'm really interested to see how that shakes out, because you have a situation where you have a guy that I think should have made All-Pro in Chris Jones, totally, going up against the guy who did make All-Pro in Quentin Nelson. And I do think that they're going to be matched up at times on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to seeing that matchup. What are some other matchups that you think that Kansas City could really try to take advantage of when it comes to the Colts?
Well, just T.Y. Hilton is a bit banged up. He's had flashes while he's been hurt. He's also had dominant games, but in the last few games, there's been times where he's been quiet for a while. So if Kansas City can find a way to maybe bracket him or, you know, keep him off base, that would be ideal. I'm not sure about Eric Berry's availability. It looked optimistic, if I'm not mistaken. But they could really use him to help combat Eric Ebron. As I'm sure you guys are familiar, he's been one of the top tight ends in the league all year, kind of finally reaching his potential, caught his 15th total touchdown, last week. So I would definitely key in on T.Y. and Ebron for them. And then it'll have to be a team effort against Marlon Mack. He's just the perfect running back to go behind this line because they open up big holes for him. But he's also patient and has good vision. So he just explode through even the smallest holes, but they happen to open up, you know, highways for him sometimes. So I would definitely try to limit those two and try to get after Marlon Mack if they can.
And it seems to me, I'm really interested in what you said about Hilton, because when I look at the rotation, especially the snap counts just last week, It didn't look like anybody's really dominant. I think Hilton was, what, at 54% of the snaps or whatever on offense? Is it a constant rotation, or they rotate by set?
Yeah, it's just kind of situational. They get Zach Pascal out there more often in rundowns. Ryan Grant had been out there in rundowns for a while, but he's hurt right now as well. So you're mostly going to see Dontrell Inman seems to be out there quite a bit, regardless of the situation. And then, you know, Chester Rogers and or T.Y. may go off in some rundowns, you know, and they bring Zach Pascal in, kind of bringing the tight ends into that as well. With Jack Doyle being out for the rest of the year, Mo Alie-Cox has kind of taken over the main blocking tight end role alongside Ebron, because Ebron's just used in a variety of different ways, but Mo Alie-Cox is their primary blocking tight end now. So it's just situational stuff. That's about all it is. With T.Y., they may give him a little extra breather because of his ankle right now, but that's about all it is.
So if you're the Colts, how do you try to, and we're switching over to the other side of the ball, how do you try to slow down this Kansas City attack? Because one of the things that I think I've watched and seen for the Colts is they seem to run a lot of zone, and that's something that Patrick Mahomes has really thrived in this season, is going against defenses that run a lot of zone. And my other question secondary to that would be is, you know, what have you thought of what you've seen from Patrick Mahomes so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Like you said, the Colts run more zone than any other team, and Mahomes has been lights out against it. I saw some stat today where he's got a perfect touchdown to interception ratio against zone, and he's just lights out. You know, I think if there was a great answer how to stop the Chiefs offense, and they wouldn't be as dominant as they were. But one key area I think the Colts match up really well is those deep downfield chunk plays. I obviously haven't watched as much as you guys have, but you know, it seems like every week there's a bomb to Tyreek Hill or just downhill to someone with Sammy Watkins when he's healthy. The Colts, I think, are tied for allowing the second fewest pass plays of 40 plus yards. So one of the strengths of Kansas City's offense, that, you know, that deep bomb, that's been an exact strength of the Colts defense. And that cover two zone is really used to keep plays in front of you and not allow those big chunk plays. So I do think that is one area that could be maybe not a win for the Colts, but just not get bombed like the Chiefs have done to pretty much every other team, it seems like.
Well, and part of limiting that is getting pressure on Mahomes too. I know there's a lot of teams that want to play him towards contain rather than allowing him to flush the pocket. But with the pass rush the Colts have, where do you expect them to really come from and find some success trying to get pressure on Mahomes?
Well, one thing about that is I think he just gets rid of the ball just at the last second. It seems like. I think he's been sacked the fifth least, but he's like the ninth most hit. So those, you know, those two stats are on the opposite end of the spectrum. I think you just gotta, I don't know. That's tough to say. The Colts have some interior guys who can really get a push on the line. Danico Autry has been a real breath of fresh air. He's been a really good interior pass rusher. Marcus Hunt as well. He's kind of had a move to nose tackle. You know, he's not your big 320-pound guy, but him and Autry both really get a lot of push right up the middle. And as we all know, quarterbacks hate that pressure right in their face. And then the Colts just really have to bank on, let's say it's, you know, Kamoko Touré and Jabal Sheard this week getting an outside push. But they've also used a lot of blitzes, especially from Kenny Moore. Coming from the cornerback position, I think he had somewhere between like 12 and 15, pass rush snaps, last week against the Texans, which was the most by any NFL defensive back since like 2006 or something like that. So they're finding some creative ways to generate pressure. I do trust Matt Eberflus to kind of diagnose something on film that he sees and devise a way to really put the pressure on Mahomes in some way, whether that's, you know, using a lot of stunts or however they use it, just different alignments, things like that.
So you look at defending this team. How do you feel going matched up against Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and with the possibility of having Sammy Watkins back? I think that's one of the biggest things that Kansas City's really lacked in the second half of the season is Sammy Watkins, because I think he does open up a lot of things for them. How do you feel about keeping those guys in check? I know you talked about running cover two and keeping the deep play from happening, but it doesn't have to be a deep play for this offense to be effective.
Yeah, of course. And it is not ideal to have to try and figure out how to defend all those different guys, especially if Watkins is back. I feel a little better about their chances against Hill than I do Kelce, just because Kelsey's such a mismatch nightmare. And the resources that you would hope to use to contain guys like Hill and Watkins deep, that takes away resources to use against Kelce. And there have been a couple of games where tight ends have had pretty good games against the Colts. So I worry a little more so about Kelce. The Colts have, while they've not really faced anyone with the speed of Tyreek Hill, because his speed might be unmatched against anybody, they have done really, really well against opponents' top receivers. DeAndre Hopkins has had his two worst games of the year against the Colts. Had his worst postseason game ever last week. They've been able to contain, Amari Cooper, and they just have not had many dominant receiver performances against them. And so that's been something their zone defense has been able to really key in on. It'll be interesting to see who's matched up on who, though. Pierre Desir is more of a lengthy corner. He's probably more of their shutdown guy, honestly, but Kenny Moore is probably the faster of the two and probably matches up a little better with Hill. So I'll be interested to see how that goes.
Well, folks, I think we're going to take our second break. We're going to come back and not only find out what Jake thinks is going to happen, but I have a couple more questions for him too.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
So before we get to how you see this game going down, I just want to ask, because the Chiefs fan base is so familiar with not only Nick Sirianni, but obviously Chris Ballard. What is your take on not just the drafting strategy, but how the organization runs under Chris Ballard?
Not to be a homer, but like even before I was brought in with the team, I love the vision of how in the direction they're moving, the way they want to build a team, the schemes, everything. It all makes sense. There's a clear plan that you see. The players they're acquiring fit that plan. They seem to fit like a glove in some instances. Darius Leonard, for example, perfect Will linebacker for them. It's hard not to like it. I mean, every team has their occasional misses, but the Colts have also completely changed their defensive scheme in 1 year and managed to hit the ground running. Their defense is even better now, even though they had acquired players last year for that old scheme. The players they've managed to acquire even since then all fit very well. They've become one of the top dozen defenses. Offensively, it's obvious how well things are working. I mean, they've acquired the right players for Reich and Sirianni's offense. Is a very tight end based kind of deal, and you're seeing Eric Ebron have a career year. Unfortunately, we didn't really get to see a whole lot of Jack Doyle, but he was doing really well. Eric Swope was doing well. Mo Alie-Cox has done well. You're just seeing the things they're saying that they believe in and that they're planning for. You're actually seeing it all out on the field, and it's been successful. So there's really not much to gripe about, to be honest with you. I mean, us in the media, we can always find something, but really, the positives far, far outweigh the negatives.
Well, and you talk about that, and I have to ask, just because Kansas City's had Reed for 6 years now, and there was talk that Chris Ballard was going to be the next GM when Dorsey was leaving, and And obviously he's in Indianapolis now, and you've got some great draft picks moving forward. You know, you look at how this Colts team has been shaped and how quickly it all came together, or seemingly came together. I guess my question is, do you think that this team was going to be better regardless without Andrew Luck? And I understand Andrew Luck is a huge piece of it, but I'm just looking at the overall roster. Looks like it's so much better than it was, you know, those couple years ago, even when Andrew Luck wasn't playing.
Yeah, it's hard to say, you know, it's hard to forecast progress without Andrew, but just playing devil's advocate there, I would agree with you. The roster has gotten much younger. It went from being one of, if not the oldest, to the youngest, if you discount Adam Vinatieri's age from that, because 46.
he has the county's a kicker.
Yeah. You know, like Frank Gore was, I think, 34, Vinatieri 46. It weighed on the average quite a bit.
Yep.
But no, they're younger. They're so much more athletic and fast. And it's hard for me to imagine things not working out with Frank Reich, Nick Sirianni, and Jacoby Brissett. Cause I do think Jacoby is a very good quarterback. I think there would have been clear growth there from basically last year being his rookie year, you know, is at least his first year starting. You would expect progress, and he would be making that progress under a quarterback guru, basically. So just to play devil's advocate, yeah, I think even if Andrew weren't in there, the team would have at least been a little better just because the job they've done and the coaching staff and the roster, everything's a bit better.
Well, given all that, and I don't want to put you on the spot, if you go into as much depth and call a number if you like, but how do you see this game unfolding?
Well, I think you've got to assume the Chiefs offense is going to show up, right? I mean, they're the only team ever in a 16 game season to have 26 points in every game. So you got to assume that offense is showing up no matter what. It's a really good deep group. So that's a given. The Colts offense, I believe, can hang with anybody as well. I think some of each team's strengths and weaknesses kind of, can be taken advantage of against each other. I do think it'll probably be a high scoring affair. I imagine both teams will be, you know, 30 plus. But you know, I just think that the Colts can pull this out. They have to show up and make enough stops against that offense. They have to do that. There's, you know, you can't give them that many opportunities, but I just think the fact that the Colts can run the ball at a dominant level, I think they could be able to hold the ball away from Mahomes enough. And I think that's probably the best way to do it, is to just pound the rock and hope to keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands as much as possible. I think if they do that and they kind of stick to their assignments and do their job and take away the deep ball like they have all season, that limits how quickly the Chiefs would be able to get back into the game. You know, if the Colts are dominating time of possession. And I just think in a close battle, that could be the difference. And I'll say the Colts win a close, high scoring one.
You don't see this shaping out like it did last week, with all the games under 28 points.
No. I think this leans closer to what the Chiefs did against the Rams than something like Bears Eagles.
Well, I like the way you're thinking. Not going to say that I agree with the numbers, but hey, close enough. Folks, make sure you check out everything on Colts.com and all of Jake's work. Man, it's good to talk to you again. Thank you for taking the time to hang out with us.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I really appreciate it being back on here with you.
And folks, thank you for spending all your time listening to us, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.